appreciated what was shared here this morning already. I believe that if we were listening, that our hearts and lives were challenged this morning. I was just thinking Brother Henry was sharing there, and I believe Henry does construction work, and he probably puts on roofs. When people need a new roof, he's more than happy to give them a new roof. And as Henry drives around in his neighborhood, he probably knows who needs a new roof. He can probably tell me of different people that's like, yep, they definitely need a new roof. But until they decide that they need a new roof, Henry probably won't be able to give them a new roof. And if someone in Henry's neighborhood was to give me a call and say, hey, my roof is leaking and I need a new roof and I need someone to help me with that. And they would ask, it's like, do you know of anyone that can help me? And I would probably say, well, I know where you live, and Henry, he doesn't live too far from you. He should be able to help you. So I guess what we see there is Henry has a reputation of giving people new roofs that need a new roof. And I think that's what Henry was trying to get to us is, you know, we need to have a heart that has a reputation for caring for people. We all know people that are hurting and that need help, but until they come to the realization that they need some help, there's only so much that we can do. But the important part is that in the meantime, that we're showing that we have that reputation and that we use opportunities to share that and to show that. And when the time is right, those people will come to a realization that, you know, my roof is leaking and it's beyond me and I need some help, and they will seek out those people. And so that's what spoke to me is, you know, I need to be well versed in that and ready to reach out and help, and those people know who I am and where I am, and if they don't know, that someone else knows that, yes, this is a person that can be of help to you. So that's some of the thoughts I had as I was listening this morning. I'd like to just pause and have time of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning again for this day. Thank you for each one here. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to again be able to share your word. And Lord, we are here this morning because we do want to hear from you. We want to apply your word to our lives. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would make that real and that you would help us to do that here this morning. Pray, Lord, that you would just speak through me this morning. And Lord, we do want to allow you, we want to give you all the honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Something I would like to do before I get sharing here is, if I could get, I need just a couple of people to come up here, and maybe I'm going to pick on some young boys. David and Nathaniel and maybe Abe, if you both come up here. Let's pretend that we were walking down this hall here, and it was completely dark. And you know that when you get down here that you want to stop about right here. So if you close your eyes, and one at a time, Nathaniel, you do it first. Close your eyes and walk down here and stop at that hall. Tell me when you're there. Okay, you can step to the side. Okay, who wants to try it next? Okay, David, you try it. Walk down through there and then try to walk up that hall. Like, keep your eyes closed. Okay, Abe, they didn't fare so well. Okay, now if it's light and you walk, one of you want to demonstrate with me, if you have a flashlight and you can see, David, you try it. And you shine, start way over there and you shine your way through. You just move along and you can see exactly where you're going. You're not guessing, so. Yeah, well, thank you. You can all have your seats now. Thank you for coming up here. I think that's a good demonstration of when we're walking in the light, you know, we can see, we feel, we walk with confidence. In Psalm 119 verse 5, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalms 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And the question that I would like to ask us this morning is, do we represent a true religion? You know, we saw the difference of walking when you can't clearly see, you can't really know where you're at. They were walking and carefully taking their steps and trying to feel where they're at. And until, you know, they banged into some things, they weren't exactly sure. But, you know, when they had the light and could actually see, there was confidence. And this morning I believe that God wants us to be able to walk in confidence and know that where we stand with him. You know, his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then in Psalms 100 there, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, when we know where we stand before God and we understand where our salvation comes from, you know, it brings, you know, our heart, you know, we serve the Lord with gladness. We come before his presence with singing. It brings joy to our heart. You know, we see a relationship in these verses that has no fear. No fear of condemnation. But so often when we think of a religion, you know, we think of, you know, a certain organization or a certain church or a certain group of people. I think our human minds often go to, you know, the rules that go with it. And on one side of the rules, it says, you know, these are the things that we need to do. And over on the other side, there's a list of rules, a list of things that we shouldn't do. And in our human mind, we, as we process this, you know, if I do this and don't do this, then I'm going to be acceptable. You know, I'm accepted in this setting, in this religion. But as we process that and really analyze this, we realize that we're not always, like, there's some of these lines that we probably won't be able to check off and say, well, I didn't manage to do this, and I failed here. And so if we're looking that way, you know, it doesn't, when we get to the bottom of the list, it doesn't produce what we see there in Psalms 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, when I look at that verse, I see a man coming before God in worship and singing, feeling like his slate is clean. And if we live our lives based on do's and don'ts, you know, we will always find ourselves coming up short. And we will not experience this gladness in our hearts. True religion, a true religion is not based on rules. True religion is a relationship with God. While we sin, Christ died for our sins. In Romans 5, verse 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see that that's the basis that we come to the Lord. It's not based on do's and don'ts. But when we get there, when we are there, we do, you know, it maybe may feel like we contradict ourselves, or I do in what I'm saying here. True religion does have rules. The rules are observed out of gratitude for salvation that God has provided us, not in an effort to obtain our salvation or to obtain our joy. You know, we go down through the list and we try to manufacture what we see there in Psalms 100, in Psalms 119. And if we try to manufacture that and go down the list of things, it's like, well, I need to do this and I shouldn't do that. And then we wonder why we come up empty-handed. Why do I not have the joy? And we see verses that tell us the things that we should do. And rather, you know, we accept what Jesus has done for us and is doing for us. And then out of that flows out of love. And I think Henry touched on that this morning. We want to do these things, and it brings us gladness. And as we come before his presence, you know, we find ourselves worshiping the Lord. In Matthew chapter 19, we see here that Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler here, And this man was obviously seeking. And he was wondering what he should do. In verse 16 there, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man was feeling pretty good about himself. And he says, all these things I have kept from my youth, but what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me." Here, you know, we see this man was obviously, he was trying to earn, it would seem like he was trying to earn his salvation. And he was going down through the lists of things to do and things not to do. And he fell short. And Jesus pointed that out to him. And in his own mind, he wasn't able to do that. And so we see that. We see this man falling here. In James, just like to turn to James chapter 1. And verse 26 and 27 here. This, I think, is a gauge for us to see where we are at in life. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The heading in my Bible there says the test of true religion. You know, if we come across this verse and we say, it's like, okay, I want to do what God wants me to do, and we don't understand salvation, and we don't have a relationship with God, and we read this and it's like, okay, I need to do these things. These are things that need to happen in my life. And we start doing them, we will find ourselves going down over the list. You know, the rules. Do this, don't do this. And we will always find ourselves falling short if we look at these things this way. It's like, well, I did it here. Over here, I didn't. I should have. And we will feel like we don't measure up. And when we come to the bottom of the list, we won't be able to enter. We won't be able to serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence in singing, because we realize that we fall short. But if we have a relationship with Jesus, you know, these are good verses to just analyze our life and see, you know, whether my heart is caring for these people, whether I am doing a good job in keeping myself unspotted from the world. You know, if the things of the world are crowding into my heart and they're just slowly taking my time, and you know, these are verses that we can take in and analyze and see, you know, whether my relationship, whether I am doing a good job in representing Jesus in my life, or whether it's just a religion. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we allow that to happen, you know, as we allow that to happen in our lives, we realize that we need the Lord in our lives, you know, as God's word is a light unto us. You know, we so easily take our eyes off of the Lord and His word, and we look out there, we look around us, and we see the confusion and the turmoil out there, and we so easily find ourselves stumbling, like we saw these men, these young boys walking, as they were trying to walk with not being able to see closely. But you know, when our lights are on and our focus is on the Lord and His word and what God would have for us, and we start, you know, we make decisions based on His word, and you know, it changes our picture. And so, you know, let's make sure that our focus is on God's word. It is a lamp, you know, unto our feet, and a light unto our path. You know, what, you know, there's not a better way to live than to know, you know, that we're walking the way that God would have us to walk. You know, let's seek the Lord in His word, in worship, in prayer. Let's allow that to be alive, and let's seek those things to be alive in our lives. And as we do that as a people, as individuals, you know, what happens when we allow God's word to shine in our lives individually? You know, versus when we look out and about us, around about us, and we see all the troubles and turmoil that is there, it doesn't usually make us focus inwardly. But when we take God's word and allow it to shine on our lives, as we sing, as we pray, we purpose on allowing God's word to shine on our lives, it helps us, it makes us see who we are, and it brings the focus on our own lives, and we realize that of ourselves, you know, our ways are not, that we need the Lord, and that without the Lord, we fail miserably. And so, you know, when we do that, then we can experience Psalms 100 there, you know, serving the Lord with gladness, coming before his presence with singing. You know, when we're serving the Lord with gladness and coming before his presence with singing, you know, to me that's a confirmation of a relationship with the Lord. And in knowing that he approves of my life, not because of going down over the list and doing everything right, but because I recognize that I'm not able to do that, and that I've experienced his grace, and that it is alive in my life. And so as that happens in our lives, you know, we can expect God to move, to hear us from heaven and to heal our lives, our land. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 there, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. When we, as a people, we find ourselves desiring more, wanting to experience this, you know, it's very simple there in that verse, you know, in 2 Chronicles there, it tells us what we need to do. It says that we need to humble, you know, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, and tells us that is when he will hear us. But when so often I think there's a desire in our lives to experience something more, something deeper, and it's easy for us to not do what we see there in 2 Chronicles, but rather we start looking around, and we want to, you know, we maybe ask this, like, well, why is this not happening in my life? Why am I feeling undone? And I think places that maybe we tend to look at is like, well, why is my church, you know, what's happening in my church? Why are we not seeing this in my church or the people around me? And we look at people and we quickly see things that it's like, well, this needs to happen and that needs to happen. And I think that maybe this is a reason why many people, you know, or people, you see them jumping from church to church. They're looking for something to happen. And so often I think they, you know, it's the same cycle. So as we process that, you know, what is the common thing that we see there in this mindset is that there is an outward focus. You know, we're desiring to experience something, but our focus is in the wrong place. Maybe they've tried the do's and don'ts and it hasn't worked, and they've focused on what they want to happen in their own lives. They focus on other people and realize it's not happening there. And so there's frustration. So in 2 Chronicles there, verse 14 there, you know that I believe that verse speaks to each one of us. And I think that verse is speaking to people individually and together. And that we need to seek the Lord if we want God to work in our lives. We need to seek Him out and ask Him to show us and to make us. And the promise that we have here is that God will hear us. You know, God's word, experiencing God's word and having a heart of worship. And, when we have that in prayer, our prayer is alive. You know, once we experience that in our lives, then the next question that I have for us as we look at 2 Chronicles there, do we then hopefully expect God to move and to work? Are we looking outwardly and wondering why nothing's happening? Or are we looking at our own hearts and lives and expecting God to work? You know, I think that often when something is pressed on our hearts and we start seeking the Lord in those things, that often God wants to actually work those things out in my own life. And we maybe get mixed up and we think that He's going to work that out in other people's lives. But I believe that often He wants to do that first in our lives. In Matthew chapter 17, in closing here, here Jesus was with His disciples in verse 16 here. "And I brought Him to thy disciples, and they could not cure Him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you and bring Him hither? Suffer you, bring Him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour." Here was a child that was possessed, and the disciples were not able to help him. And then Jesus came on the scene, and those were His words. And then in verse 19 there, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting." I realize here, we're talking about a child that was possessed by a devil here, but I think the point here is the disciples knew what the problem was, but their focus was not right. In verse 21 there, it points out that this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. You know, there must be prayer and earnestly seeking the Lord. But in verse 20 there, you know, it tells us something here, and maybe these kinds of verses, you know, maybe they discourage us. But because it looks like, you know, anything can happen, and well, you know, I prayed for many things that seems like they didn't really play out that well. But maybe often, you know, like the disciples here, their focus was not correct, and they were not able to experience victory in this area in helping this person. But faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know, as we apply 2 Chronicles into our own lives, it would appear as the disciples here in this verse, you know, there was an outward, there was, the disciples were looking outwardly, and I think the call here is, you know, let's look into our own lives and invite God to work in our lives. And as we do that, then hopefully expect God to move. You know, do we actually believe that He's going to do that? And you know, as God moves, as He moves in lives, as we see the Lord working in lives, it motivates us, it motivates others to dig deeper, to allow God's word to work in their lives. And so those were some of the blessings and challenges that I was looking at, and I just trust and pray that they would bless you as well. May the Lord bless.